Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
short form.
free.
Out of you live.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan. Welcome, everyone, to Blog Talk Radio. And we are happy to have everyone in the house tonight. And our special, special host, Dr. Alali, is back with us this week. And I know she is bubbling with great things to tell and share with us tonight. So we're going to give her the floor and let her take her time and tell her what's been going on and share all the fantastic news that she has to share with us. Dr. Alali.
Thank you, Miss Ida. Good evening, everyone. I want to just appreciate everybody for being on the show tonight. We have an exciting show ahead of you. I want to congratulate it. I do apologize for last week. We were trying to get award ceremony last Monday was live, and we used a new video conference system called Zoom, and I'm not sure the coordinates were right, so we caught ourselves sending it out the second time, and then the second one, instead of having everybody coming in on Monday, that had everybody coming in on Tuesday. So we decided we were going to do a PowerPoint presentation for all that could not arrive because all of you are recipients of the Robert E. Brock Environmental Award. This is the first time that this award has been given on an international platform. And when I say all of you, I mean Lynn and Shelley, Rod and Mario, Ida and Jonathan, and Dr. Smithy Incus. This is the first time that this award was given in honor of Ralph E. Brock. Now, who is Ralph E. Brock? Ralph E. Brock was one of the first environmentalists in the state of Pennsylvania. He was a graduate of the Penn State School of Forestry, and he was the one that set forth a numerous protocol for the safety and protection of trees and flowers and plants and farming and how the land is preserved to give a maximal harvest. Now, what does that have to do with what we do? We know that as environmental physicists and as environmental scientists, that if the land is not healthy, then we don't have health. If the land is not free of toxins, then that translates to the water we drink, the soil that we produce our food in and that our animals graze on, and ultimately it translates to sustained chemical exposure that weakens our genetic framing. And so tonight, it gives me great privilege to have our team as the first team celebrated with the Ralph E. Brock Award. The last time the award was given was about 2 years ago when this institute, the Institute of the Second Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction of the Church of God in Christ, Pastors' Wives, They host an award ceremony twice a year, in the spring and in the fall, primarily to look at people and to recognize people and to award people who are in missions work. Well, I know you probably never thought of yourself as an environmental scientist being a missionary on a battlefield, but that's exactly how this body of believers, how these people, these women that have organized themselves to celebrate unsung heroes, that's how they perceive all of you, to be a hero in the area of environmental science, environmental health. In fact, they they asked if all of you were ministers. And I said, well, no. I said, I think Mr. Hill is an ordained minister, but he's probably the only one that I really know in the group. So they refer to all of you as Maceo or Missio. Missio is a Latin term that means man or woman on a mission. And I said, yeah, that fits all of them. So it was a wonderful occasion that was at the Marriott Hotel at the Pittsburgh Airport. And it was a unique opportunity because it was the first time, as I said, that these awards were given to both people in the United States and people outside of the United States. And this body of believers has been doing this ceremony, this ceremonial presentation for some 32 years. And so it was really wonderful. They had media clips of their 32-year journey. And we want a platform with engineers from General Electric and businessmen from New York who had given a Lifetime Achievement Award to Dr. Melissy Clark, who is the First Lady of the Church in the Round of Aliquippa and the host of this event. So it was wonderful to celebrate her. She's 85 years young and getting ready to have another birthday and be 86. To see her strength, her stamina, her vigor, she continued this legacy of recognizing unsung heroes. Because at the end of the day, the future of this country, the future of the world, will be because there are people that operate in righteousness, that fight to preserve the quality of living, not just the experience of having another day. And so I celebrate all of you as unsung heroes. So we're going to put a PowerPoint presentation together of the event so you can have some photos of the evening. It was a black tie event, and I was very honored to have a special guest there, the parents of Congresswoman Marsha Fudge from Ohio, who have been staunch advocates of environmental safety and have financially supported me in my endeavors to work with patients at the Cleveland Clinic and doctors at the Cleveland Clinic to get their guidance in developing a protocol using modern day or using our diagnostic codes from the International Diseases. So what we're producing is something that can be used on the global market, in the global marketplace, in healthcare around the world. And so Congresswoman Marsha Fudge's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Saffo, were there. They were our distinguished honorees, and it was a great pleasure to sit with them at the host table and to present them to the world because her mother, Miss Marion Saffo, is a labor leader. This woman is 85 years old, and she's still working on public policy and labor issues to bring environmental safety in these manufacturing plants, as well as to help to support the unions in laboring fair wage and employment practices. And this lady's been on that battlefield for some 60 years. She's still strong and vibrant. And her husband, Mr. Robert Saffo, he's a contractor. He's president of the Ohio Minority Contractors Association, and he has been a staunch advocate of our nanotechnologies and the safety that they bring in enhancing electrical systems, gas systems, water systems, and windows. He was totally blown away when he saw the power of that, our solar technology for windows. He was just like, wow, we can take this technology to the moon and back. And I said, we sure can. And the second distinguished honoree were Dr. Anthony Mays, actually apostle Dr. Anthony Mays, who is the president of Breakthrough Bible College, and his lovely wife, Lady Mays. They came down from National Harbor, Maryland, and were celebrated because they're the first institution, they're the first college to have a licensing agreement with us to do the pulpit safety campaign. And we're having our first class through that college network next Tuesday. The class will convene in Maryland. Some people are going to be taking it by video. Other people will be there on location. It's only a 4-hour class to learn how to make pulpit safety safer for the pastors and the musicians and the worshipers that lead worship, you know, from the pulpit and using various types of wireless mics, from the wireless mics that fit on the body to the wireless mics that strap on the head, and testing those mics for safety and testing the electrical system for feedback. So we are so excited to have that relationship forming there with Breakthrough Bible College and their staff, and we're excited that that relationship has come to fruition. I've known Dr. May for some years, didn't get a chance to know him personally until I attended several conferences that he was at, and he saw me presenting at a church and demonstrating how there's so much feedback on the mic system and electrical system in the pulpit. And when I showed him and demonstrated what 700 BMUs of radiation did, a microsurge of over 700, what it was doing to the pastor, he's like, "Dr. O'Lally, the world needs to have this information." And I said, "Yes, also because it has been implemented in our military facilities. Our military bases now have protocol that governs electrical static and microsurge in military infrastructures, especially the Navy on those battleships that carry all that explosive weaponry. This is not new technology. It's not new protocol. The protocol has been around. What has happened is that through the process of evolution, we now, instead of having to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have access to technology that has some of the properties that the military installations have, you know, we have found a way to make cost-effective technologies at a fraction of the cost. Today, for the price of $59, you can have something that looks like a postage stamp that mitigates your electronics, especially your cell phone. And so we're so grateful to have the support of these two legendary couples. And what's unique is that they work as a team. Rarely do you see husbands and wives working together to make life happen and to make social justice and social intervention the way these couples do. They do it together, and they do it with such joy and with such support for one another that it's very humbling to have had the support, and I mean mega support, of both of them. Mr. Sappho, when I met the gentleman in California who sponsored my trip to Germany, Mr. Sappho, he told Mr. Sappho about me, and he drove all the way from Cleveland, Ohio, all the way down to Cincinnati to see us, bid us farewell on our way to Frankfurt, Germany. And he spoke so highly. When I got back from Germany, I talked to him. He stayed in contact with me, like on a monthly basis. He's like, "You know, how's it going, Doc? Let me know when you get the technology, and where do you want to start with this technology?" And I said, "Well, we got to start at the Cleveland Clinic." He said, "Well, I'm going to open up some doors for you." And sure enough, it took him 18 months, but he was able to get us contact with doctors at the Cleveland Clinic who were so instrumental in getting us a demonstration opportunity at the Cleveland Clinic, and that allowed us to forge relationship with Morgan and her doctors and their management of her and her seizures, and they were totally blown away at the immediacy of change, how she immediately changed, how the succession of her seizures and how she was, her growth curve. It's like her body, her doctor said, it's like her body just woke up when she started wearing those nanotechnologies. And it was so phenomenal because he's like, "You know, I know you didn't invent these technologies to treat or diagnose or prevent or cure disease. But Dr. O'Lally, they might be an electrical safety device, but they're so highly revolutionary for managing seizures. And so we have to get them to clinical trial." And so that's what I'm so excited about, because we have intentional efforts moving forward to put infrastructure in place for raising $1 million to do clinical trials. and we've identified the group of doctors. We have identified some resources for funding. We have identified about three venues that we're going to start promoting, and we're going to be joining Morgan. Morgan has a GoFundMe page. Her parents are raising about $40,000+ to get specialized van that can transport her in her wheelchair and all the apparatuses that she has. Right now, they have a very old van that's, you know, they're very concerned about the mechanical dynamics of the van because where she lives at in Ohio, when the weather becomes inclement with snow and ice, it's not, and where she lives, it's a lot of hills. It's not very safe. And, you know, sometimes these cars get so old that they just die, and it is a very old van. So we're giving Nanos, people that buy Nanos off her GoFundMe page. A portion of it will go to her, and a portion will go back to Michi Health to help with the ongoing campaign for raising money for clinical trials to for seizure intervention using the technologies. So I'm excited about everything. Last week I was trying to get to the show. I was in the middle of the mountains. I couldn't even get a signal out. And I said, well, one thing about the team that shows up for the show and the engineers, you know, the beat goes on. When Dr. A can't make it in there, the beat goes on, because I had told Mr. Hill I was going to be traveling to Pennsylvania and up in those mountains that I didn't know whether or not I'd be able to get a signal coming out of there or not, because we had to stay over in Pittsburgh and do two television shows for Pittsburgh and I guess the Philadelphia market. So we got a lot of, I've been in a lot on a lot of TV shows and radio shows the last week. We did those two shows in Pittsburgh, and then we did a radio show in Atlanta. We had to leave Pittsburgh and go to Atlanta to make a presentation to a developers conference, a real estate development conference. We're looking for innovative technologies, and boy, did we blow them away. We are so excited to be present in the Georgia market, because we have seven houses in the Atlanta, Stone Mountain, Lake Lanier area. And the people just love their bioharmonized homes, the biosmart houses, and the word is getting around. And so the developer had heard about us and wanted us to come down to meet with his corporation, his key real estate team, and they had no idea. You know, they had heard about us, and there were a lot of naysayers that couldn't believe that a nanotechnology could do all the things we could do. But when we demonstrated it, the president of the corporation was totally blown out of his chair. And he's like, lady, he said, look, he said, I wanted to do two beta projects with you next month, because we want to test some specific dynamics of your technology, because we would like to do a whole development of maybe about 120 houses with this technology. He said, but all my engineering team has to be on board. We all want to be in agreement. If there's any questions, we want to have the time to play around with the technology and the infrastructure of how we build. And when he saw the demonstration, he's like, okay, so the beta project starts next month, but I want the technology now in my house. He said, can you get my house done before you leave Atlanta? And I said, absolutely. I said, we can get to the core of it done. I may have to send you a few different products, I said, because we did a house while we were in Pittsburgh. We did part of a house, a couple of bedrooms. And I said, I need you to so I might need to send you some stuff. He said, I don't care. Do whatever you can do. He said, because I have some health challenges. There's some health challenges in my family, and we've got this new house, and none of this makes sense. So we went and, you know, the Solis are so amazing. You just put them on the window, and we like to put Soli in first. We put her in first and let her do her thing so we can really feel the energy of the house and feel how she begins to move things around. And And so he immediately, he had a sinus problem for years. He said he couldn't even breathe out of both of his nostrils. He had to breathe out of one because he had a sustained inflammatory process in the other, I believe it was the right nasal. And so all of a sudden, he starts taking these deep breaths, and he says, wow, I can breathe. He said, what's in this stuff? I said, well, actually, you're experiencing the energy wave coming off the windows. He had big, beautiful windows in this home that was almost 7,000 square feet. Big, beautiful windows. The north exposure of the house had a lot of glass windows. I said, oh, we're going to have a lot of fun with Soli in your house because you have a lot of windows in this house in the north. And so then all of a sudden we put in the QW2x2s with Soli relays in the panel on the water and on the gas pipe. And within about another 15 minutes, all the lights in the house got super bright as they began to de-stress the line and begin to correct the power factor in the line and discharge the static. He's like, this house has never had this much illumination of light. He said, we've gone out and bought all these expensive light bulbs to get it brighter in here, and look, I mean, we didn't do anything, but you've installed this technology, and it started making everything brighter. And I said, absolutely, that's what it does. And so then we tested the water and showed him how the water was full of static. He said, yeah, this water is really hard. And we put the biobalancer in the water system, and it discharged the water, and he was totally blown away that he could hold a mug of water and remain sustained his balance with Bedort testing. So he was like, this is incredible. This house has only been done. It only has 60% of the BioSmart solar technology, and I'm already breathing better. My lights are like brighter as if I have gotten a whole new electric system in here. He said, this is phenomenal. So I told him on the next day, I said, we're waiting for the electrician to come so we could do the installation in the panel and do the water system. But the electrician said he was delayed. He couldn't get there until today. So I said, well, we have to leave Atlanta, but we're not going to leave you without a water system. And I told the gentleman, I said, you know, you're a contractor, and you've got some construction skills. I said, we can work to install the water system ourselves. Our water system is a whole house alkaline water system that softens the water, increases oxygen in the water, increases the pH of the water. It stops the buildup of lime in the water, so it's amazing for managing the water line. And so we went ahead and did together, we put in the water system. And the next morning, we had to just double back there. We were for just a brief meeting. His wife was ecstatic with joy. He was ecstatic with joy. And, I mean, it was amazing because they all looked 10 years younger. Their son was, like, real reserved when we met him. He was, like, you know, really reserved, really into himself, and we didn't really get a chance to dialogue with him much. But the next day, it was like his whole countenance had changed. Like he had hit the lottery and won $1,000. He was gleeful. He was engaging. It was like night and day. And the man and his wife literally looked 10 years younger. They were looking at each other and saying, this is too amazing. They said, we have had the best sleep ever. He said, I can't remember sleeping this good. It's probably been since I was a child. And I said, you know, he said, my air in the house is lighter. He said, everybody is like super relaxed and contented. He said, there was so much nervous anxiety in this house with having, you know, a teenager and two young adult college students. He said there was always a lot of tension in the house with the kids with exams and projects and stuff going every which way. He said, But since you have put this technology in here, it has just been a level of contentment and peace that is so refreshing and affirming that, you know, Dr. Lava, he said, this house, the conversion of this house to a smart house is like miraculous. And he said, I am looking so forward to offering this protocol and offering these technologies to our constituents and to the people we serve and to these communities. He said, because there's so much cancer and diabetes in these out here in the suburbs of Atlanta. And I told him, I said, this problem is not unique to Atlanta. It's a national problem, in fact, an international problem. That's why we are under a nationwide call to action, a nationwide call to action, to tell people to mitigate their homes because it's their home that could be making them sick. And we are so fortunate to have had the Obama administration frame up a program and to push the going green, and not just for sustainability, but for biosustainability, because the foundations of the rich are deeply concerned that we are not sustaining enough energy to sustain mental health. Everybody's going ballistic. Everybody has all this paranoid dynamics going on. So we are very fortunate to be able to work with this group of developers in the, down in the South, and we have another project coming up in the North as well, right on the edge of Kentucky-Ohio border, apartment complex at low-income housing. So we met also with a group of businessmen that were contractors that have gotten into this consortium. The Cincinnati area is getting $30 billion for renovating low-income housing, and we are excited that our model is being considered. So we will have Solis and we will have alpha filters, beta filters going in on this low-income housing project. So that's supposed to kick off sometime this summer. So many new things, so many good things are happening. It is happening, ladies and gentlemen. You've just tuned in to Tuesday Health Talk Radio. And every Tuesday we've been talking about environmental health and environmental factors and pushing the nanobiogenic technologies. What are nanobiogenic technologies? These are technologies that are highly revolutionary. They function like insulators to wrap around energy infrastructure in the house, your electric panels primarily, your gas line, and your water line. We also have technology that mitigates windows. Windows are phenomenal in picking up a stray voltage and static radiation and throwing it around in the house, contributing to the demise of people's health. So we've been studying houses now for 8 years, how to mitigate them, how to make them safer, because when the EPA says 6 out of 10 houses are too toxic with air and radiation toxins, and so we can't just sit around and look at those statistics. We've gotten up off our duff, and we've been doing something about it. We've been educating our neighbors, our friends, the farmers near and far, business people, school people, anyone that will listen. And the movement is getting momentum because now that the World Health Organization has taken a position on cell phones and they have the Congress has taken a disposition on electricity and commissioned the Bioinitiative report that said, basically alleged that 9 out of the top 10 diseases killing Americans can be linked to electromagnetic frequency. Institutions and agencies and organizations are recognizing this, not just across America, but worldwide. And we're doing something about it. We developed these technologies to block static radiation and therefore to reduce the assault of air and radiation toxins indoors. So with all that hard work, of everyone that's on the line creating miracles all over the United States and in Canada. Tonight I want to just give a special word of encouragement. You know, I invited everybody to get on the phone line at 7:30 in the morning with Affirmation Nation. And this morning was no different. I was up early calling two or three friends saying, get on this line, because there's always a powerful word that this young man's name is Azik. He's a millionaire living from Los Angeles, but he's kind of all over. He does the radio show from Los Angeles, Chicago, wherever he's at, Miami. But this morning was extraordinary because I've never heard anyone present rejection the way that he did. He said, you know, nobody likes to be rejected. Matter of fact, he quoted Tony Robbins, an internationally renowned motivational speaker, and he was talking about, Tony Robbins said, the two great fears that everybody has, number one is that they're not good enough and to engage whatever they're pursuing. And number two, they fear what other people think about them not being good enough. And he said all of this centers around rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. And rejection in our culture is so taboo. When you get rejected, you know, it can do a domino effect. It can catapult. One person rejects you, well, then everybody in the community wants to reject you. One person at work rejects you, then everybody at work wants to reject you. And nobody likes to deal with rejection. He said, but let me give you a different perspective on it. He said sometimes rejection is used to redirect you. It's used to take some people out of your life so you have room to engage people that are going with you on your journey and can help you get there. He said rejection can transform your outcomes. And he talked about all the people that got rejected. I mean, who would imagine Walt Disney, the founder of Disney World and Disneyland, being rejected from a job in journalism because they said he didn't have enough creative imagination? That was, like, hilarious when he shared that. Who would imagine that the Wright brothers, people laughed in their face when they said, you know, we believe we can fly and we can make an aircraft that will carry people from one distance to another and shorten the distance of travel. And people mocked them saying, you know, if God wanted people to fly, he'd have made them birds with wings. And so he talked about several other issues that were so negative and so condescending of people trying to explore their imagination to make the world a better place. And, of course, you know, after he got finished exhorting us in, don't take rejection as a negative thing. Sometimes rejection means you're moving in the wrong direction and you need to choose a different pathway. Sometimes rejection means there's a better way for you than the one you're trying to pursue, or a better person for you than the one that's rejecting you. It's because maybe their time is over in your life and you need to make space for somebody new. And so I was so inspired because being an environmental scientist and producing this nanotechnology, that's all I have for the first 5 years with constant rejection. No, 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 no. Nobody wanted to fund it. Nobody even wanted to fund the research to even explore. And I'm like, how is this? There were grants that people were getting that had no technology, no vision for it. They were given $250 at a problem, and they were given the money to sit down and think about possible ways to solve a problem. And there was one particular incubator I went in. Here I go in with a technology that's already in the marketplace asking for money for research. They have money for research, but they tell me they won't give me any money for research because they don't think there's any value to the technology because it was so small and it seems so insignificant. So I know what a rejection feels like. I know what it means to hear no 1,000 times. And while I was in Atlanta, I met, I hooked up with Israel Mann, a young woman that I met at IMPEX, the engineering competition. She was there when I won the gold medal. And I ran into her. I bumped into her. I was in Atlanta over the weekend. And we were talking about all that I had gone through to get this technology to this day in this space. And she actually was instrumental in introducing me to the developers that wanted me to speak for their forum and to evaluate this technology to see if it was feasible to put it in their new communities that they're developing. I'm telling you, when she knew, I mean, we've stayed in touch, the struggle that we've had, the many mountains we've had to climb, the valleys we've gone through, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs. But when these developers saw this, they said, Dr. O'Lally, we have an engineering team. We can quantify it in the ways that we need it to match city codes and building codes, because this is just basically an insulator. These are just energy units that are made out of natural frequencies that do amazing things to help block static. He said, our engineers will modify them as they need them. He said, but the miracle that I have heard about these children stopping their seizures. He said, the miracles I have heard from the doctors that are wearing them themselves for management of arthritic pain. He said, the miracles I've heard about the blind people that now have their sight back are so convincing that we're going to put our team behind you to help raise money for these clinical trials and help create a culture that has that is more sensitive and that is more proactive, living in healthier homes. It is a nationwide national call to action, and it should be the pursuit of every single homeowner to make sure their home has the highest safety regard in the land. He said, and this is a no-brainer. You've made things possible that were impossible, you know, to the average consumer. Now, everybody can have a smart house. Everybody can have a home that's safe. He said, and we want to mobilize every contractor in this state to join with these federal agencies that are pushing, promoting healthy, smart homes, and let's get with a program so that we don't have to have all these masses of people sick with seizures and cancer and et cetera, and diabetes. So I want to end the note with exhorting all of you that, yes, everybody that usually listens in on Tuesday nights, the regular crew, we all are facing, have faced an inordinate amount of rejection. But I want you to know that that rejection has guided us. It has redirected us in pathways where we found more people that agreed with us and believed in what we're doing and supported us so we could move forward in the journey. And I believe that that working with, you know, the developing and the real estate associations, and we found out that the insurance company will pay for these surveys if you have a registered nurse. Medicare will pay for the survey to go in the house and use our instruments to quantify the measurements in the home. The doctor has to write the prescription. You have to have a registered nurse to manage the plan of care because it has to be put in code. We've been talking about this for years. I knew if the codes were part of what we did, that insurance companies would look at seriously reimbursing us. And, yes, we found out that they will. And so I'm so excited about that. So we are going to be putting together classes with the medical doctor specifically using these codes and teaching doctors how to write the prescriptions. In fact, we have the what's called the medical necessity forms. We're going to be selling those forms, and clients will have the opportunity to have a nurse complete the form and put it in code for the doctor for a fee. And we're excited about setting that service up. That'll be up sometime this summer. So they will be able to buy the package right off of Michi Health. They will be able, when they buy the package, it comes along with a consultation with a registered nurse who will then take their diagnosis, whatever their diagnosis is, and put it in code for the doctor. They have to get the doctor, of course, to sign off on it. And then their insurance company will pay for the survey, and that's like one step further to get them to pay for the retrofitting of the house. We do have another client who is in defense for their insurance company to pay for it, and they haven't said no. It's gone through two rounds of approval. It needs one more round to say yes for the insurance company to pay for them. They have micronutritional disorder. They have hypersensitivities, and the doctor is classifying them under idiopathic environmental illnesses. So the word is getting around. We're just not doing this for the sake of doing it anymore. The momentum is gathering, and yesterday my phone rang early in the morning, and it was Radio 1. Remember Carl Nelson, how a year ago he brought Destiny's story to the world to tell them that she was using the technology to and experiencing days without any seizures. Well, Destiny is back in the news because you heard her mom testify or share her testimony 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was 3 weeks ago, that Destiny is now doing math. Destiny can count money. She is doing things they said she would never do. But the thing that blew all of us out of the water was Destiny is now a college student and has completed her first semester of college. And I was totally blown out of the water. Carl Nelson was so blown out of the water. And we were able to have one of the developers on that show with us and one of his managing consultants. They were on the show talking about how they wanted to organize a campaign in Florida, in South Carolina, in Georgia, and in Alabama to do these healthy smart homes for low-income houses and put our technology in this nationwide effort to bring up these projects and low-income housing to green codes and green standards to help to mitigate and stop all of this health disparity, this diabetes especially. There's so many people. It's like a runaway train in almost every housing complex. Everybody's getting diabetes from the environmental chemicals and radiation. I want to end the notes on encouraging you not to be offended by rejection, but to know that it's part of the process and re-guiding you. Isn't it wonderful that when bridges go out, somebody puts up a sign and maybe a chain link, or maybe they board it up and say, you can't cross here. We're rejecting you from using this thoroughway. Sometimes rejection means safety. And I want to end my second note on take time to rest. I've been driving hard for the last 10 years. 7 days a week, 20 hours a day. My body says, sis, we can't do that 7 days a week, 20 hours a day anymore. And I spent spring break with my grandbaby, and we rediscovered the Ten Commandments. We were talking about living your life on honor and honoring God, honoring your parents, learning to walk in honor of people, respect of people. And we were going down through the Ten Commandments, and it's been a long time since I read the Ten Commandments. I encourage everybody, before you go to bed tonight, pull out your Bible, get Exodus number 20, chapter 20, and read the Ten Commandments. Because when I got down to commandment, I believe it's number 5, it said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And rest. like, get off the earth, bring yourself to zero stress, zero movement, take some deep breaths in, and just rest. Because we work hard trying to love on our neighbor and our friends and our family. We work hard with this word in our mouth to inspire. It's my grandbaby in studio with me. To inspire people to strive for a better life, a healthier life, a healthier indoors. And sometimes we have to just stop and nurture ourselves and hug ourselves. And so with all of the festivities that have happened in the last week, all the celebrations that I have participated in, I want you to know that I took the Sabbath to rest and just be still. And I really, really, really have made a commitment to myself to get back to that, to take in my Sabbath rest during the week. I want to say again a special shout out and ask for a word of prayer for Miss Kim Ingram. She's a young woman that labored so hard to get the mayor of Cincinnati to honor Morgan. And it was really wild because she had all this effort, you know, going down to the city hall, get the proclamations and orchestrating all of that to make something I've been trying to do for 6 years a reality on a platform where children were being celebrated throughout the city. And I met her mom at Morgan's affair. Her mom was so intrigued with what we were doing because she's a registered nurse that she made provisions for me to speak at a conference at the Jewish Center. And went to that center, shared with the conference, our work, and Sabbath luncheon with her, had communion with her, and it was such a euphoria. There was such a presence of joy. Because she was like a celebrity in this center. But I kept reading all this stuff about Sabbath rest and the intention of celebration by which these Jewish families and the Jewish children were having this meal, the Shabbat. And when she walked out to take her bus home, it was like she just unzipped from her suit, made her transition home. But the message of resting and taking a time to renew yourself was so loud and so present. It was almost like a gift from her to me, saying, Dr. A, it's now time for you to be intentional about taking a day of rest. And I'm going to leave all of you on that note tonight and with this special blessing. Not everybody gets to be an earth angel. Not everybody gets to operate in missio, M-I-S-S-I-O, which is a Latin word from which the word missionary is derived. And I see all of you as missionaries. We are all missio. We are all in the earth to make it a better place. I am better because I have all of you to love me, celebrate me, to be my eyes, my ears, my innovation, to test this technology in so many different ways that I'm ever expanding, I'm ever growing. This thing has become perpetual now until we're touching developers, people who have the power and the resources to build whole communities with biosmart technology. All of this has happened because of all of you. And so I take this special time to say thank you, to say I love and appreciate you. I want to open up the lines to anyone who wants to share a testimony, But I encourage all of you to get on Affirmation Nation every morning. Become intentional about celebrating your day with happiness and with joy. Those young people get on that line and say, I'm so happy and grateful. And that's what this is. I'm so happy and grateful that I've had the opportunity to touch your world with such amazing knowledge that you have gone forth and become miracle workers and angels in your earth and the communities that you've lived in. And now together we are going forth and touching the world. Things are getting ready to happen in the next 45 days. Every week I have a major event. I'm meeting with major people that have major resources to take this thing full speed ahead. Any testimonies on the line tonight? Well, if there's not any testimonies on the line tonight, I just want to leave one more testimony about the thyroid. Ida, I'm calling it the Ida Morse Protocol. I have a medical doctor that had a thyroid that was acting like yours. She couldn't keep her levels even. She was all over the place. I mean, she's in her 60s, and doctors have been battling for 40 years to keep her stable. I gave her the Ida Morse Protocol. I said, Ida said she was taking Longevity, Tangy Tangerine, and she took the Nanobio Balancer and put it on her throat and energized her tangerine. And I said, and how many weeks later, or was it months, you went to the doctor and all of your thyroid had stabilized?
Yeah.
Yes. So a month later. And I want you to know, she wanted us to do her house. We went to her house. We did her house. She did the Ida Morse Protocol. She said, first of all, she couldn't believe she woke up the next day feeling vibrant and full of energy. And she said her labs have stabilized.
Awesome.
So that's the Ida Morse Protocol. We are so excited because Dr. Smith the Incas, we have a new protocol from her. She had a bulging disc. She used a QW2x2 and pinned it to her underclothes. She said she took the nanos out of her shoes because I told her that's probably too much power on your little body because she's a petite little something. And a miracle happened. They was telling her she needed surgical intervention to de-stress her spine, and oh my God, they had her on so much pain meds. And Dr. Cynthia Incas is not that big. She lost like 20 pounds in 4 days. She couldn't eat. She put that QW2x2, pinned it in her underwear on her back. She said it was crazy, like a half hour. She had full range of motion without pain. And today she's pain free. And she doesn't need to have any surgery. And she's not using any pain meds, just the QW2x2. That's the Dr. Bianca Smith Incas protocol. So she shared that with a number of her medical friends, one who had cellulitis of the right leg, had been to all her medical friends to be treated in the last year to no avail. Nothing worked. Nothing, no medicine worked. No natural homeopathic preparation worked. And Dr. Smith, he just told her, he said, listen, you need to get this technology from Dr. Lally. But before you can get your QW2x2 from her, just take the nanos, put one in your left shoe, put one on a Band-Aid, and put it over the cellulitis patch. And the doctor did that. The next day, she was pain-free, and there was no swelling. There was no redness in her leg. So she's gone wild. She's like, give me the training and give me, I think she sold probably 50 nanos in the last 2.5-3 weeks. So I'm telling you, there's a whole campaign going on with the medical community in these nanos. So we got to get this clinical trial funded. We've got to get Morgan her van We've got to get a Edwin M. Kennedy Award to Miss Destiny for her intentional efforts to document her journey over the last 18 months and let us have a sneak preview. Let us be on the sideline of watching the evolution of the grace of God in her life unfold through this technology. Because God is doing the exceeding. And we don't have to apologize anymore because we love humanity. We care enough about people to knock on their door and tell them to get their homes checked, get the head off the wall and check the bed, know that their house is safe, know what their levels are of microsurge in the house, of chemical conversion. Somebody had sabotaged our site at USA Today that was giving us the chemical dynamics of manufacturing in neighborhoods. But they've gone in and tried to recorrect it so we're back to being able to get that data off that site, and I'm very excited about that. So having said all of that, I said, if there's no more to be shared, then I bless everyone on this show tonight. Stay encouraged, stay empowered, and get up every morning saying, I am so happy and grateful that I have the strength to go forth and save humanity, preserve humanity for the next generation. I will be intentional to do the very best I can do to add value to my family, my community, the world in which I live. Because when I add value to the lives of others, they increase, and in return, they add value back to my life. And if we continue to work good and goodness, we will bring the kingdom of God to our right to our living rooms, right to the places where we live, and our lives will overflow with joy and happiness because we care enough to share, and that's really what makes the world go round. I'm out of here. This is Dr. Lally. And say goodnight, Kalea, to everyone.
Good night.
My grandbaby, I got to kiss her and put her in the bed.
Good night, everyone.
All right, good night, Dr. Lally. Good work.
Good night, my Canadian family that I love. Good night, my family in Nigeria that I love. Good night, my Columbia University family that I love. And good night, Atlanta. We're going to rock Atlanta. We're going to rock Washington, D.C. with this technology. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that teaching God holy word. Oh, it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yeah.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart. Yes, it is.
I'll
be serving the Lord. Though sometimes my road gets dark and weary, I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Way
down on the inside.
In my heart.
Oh, Lord.
God
planted his love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, he did.
Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby.
Listen.
Now, I've been singing for a long, long time. I'm not going to give up. Said I got a made up mind. been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart. You to know I'm not doing this for shape, form, or fashion. I just want you to know down in my heart the reason I'm here tonight, because it's in my heart. And I want you to know, I want you to know, Mama and Daddy, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy raised us up in the church. They didn't send us to Texas, they took us to church. Can I get a witness out there? And if we got to the church house and act like we didn't want to go in, Mama would catch me in the collar and she'd drug. Mama and Daddy drug us to church house. I wish I had a witness out there. Planted it in my heart. My heart. Oh, yeah. Ooh, Lord. It's in my heart. Many times we didn't get paid, y'all. But I kept on singing anyway because I had it in my heart. Can I get a one witness? Can I get a one witness? Deep down in my heart, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, I'm not through yet.
It's in my heart.
Y'all act like y'all don't know what we're doing up here. Come on.
It's in my heart.
Yep, you got it.
You know what?
My heart.
Somebody asked me
my heart.
Just the other day.
My heart.
Said, how can you shake a person's hand and you know they don't like you?
My heart.
I told him
my heart.
The reason I do it is in my heart. I got a phone call not too long ago. Somebody said,
heart,
how can you leave your family
look out.
And go sing all the time? I told them, I love my family.
Oh, yeah.
I love my family.
Yes, I do.
I love my family.
Oh, my.
But the reason I'm doing it. There's a reason I'm doing it.
There's a reason you're doing it.
Cause it's in my heart.
Yes.
I got to love my enemies.
Yes, yes.
I got to love my friends.
Yes,
and whenever you see me, I'll be serving the Lord.